Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome into the Maize and Brew podcast here on MaizeandBrew.com. Another post-game edition, and one that I certainly didn't expect to be recording today. One that I certainly think a lot of you didn't expect you to be listening to today. And I am Team Site Producer, Managing Editor Anthony Broom here with you again in a very, different show than the one we did last week here. What the hell was that? What was that? Listen, and let me give you a little insight into the pre-production process of this particular episode of our podcast series. Usually after the game, we do a quick game recap. We will do takeaways. We will do the quick little recap of Jim Harbaugh's press conference, which, if you're looking for something juicy out of him today, I got nothing for you. And then after all that, I print out the box score. I kind of look over things and see how everything played out. And I put together an outline. I put together a plan for how I think this show is going to go and how it's going to take place. Today, I have no outline. And I have no plan. Because your football team, our football team, didn't seem to have much of a plan either. Or if they did, it didn't work very well. So maybe planning's just overrated. A loss to this Michigan State team? Are you kidding me? Loses to Rutgers 38-27 last week. 7 turnovers. You lose to this team at home? After what you did last week to Minnesota? And maybe that's the biggest takeaway. Maybe that's where we start today. Maybe Minnesota stinks and is terrible. You see what they did on Friday night at Maryland? All of the ingredients were in place after that game on Friday night to be concerned about how good Michigan was coming into this game. And buddy, let me tell you, I did not expect it to go like this. Michigan State wins 27-24. It really was, it was close, but at the end of the game, it wasn't that close. Michigan scored a garbage time touchdown after taking pretty much 5 minutes off the clock and down two scores in a game where there was only 6 minutes left. There was not a sense of urgency today. There was not... there were no adjustments today. I mean, you got outcoached by a guy and a coaching staff. Outcoached, outplayed, outmanned in every single aspect of the game. By a staff and a team that has really only been together in pads for 4 weeks. 4.5 weeks. A staff that lost to Rutgers last week. An offense that couldn't take care of the football. Where was your pass rush today? I'm trying to keep a level head about it, and I waited a little longer after the game to get on here and record this. That is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. And to me, by far the lowest point of the Jim Harbaugh era at Michigan. Forget the blowouts against Ohio State, of which there have been many. Forget the game at Wisconsin last year. Forget the bowl games. Something that Jim Harbaugh teams have always done is take care of business against teams they were supposed to beat, especially as huge favorites. And when you stop doing that, and listen, I know this is a young football team. I know they're green in so many areas. But the team that took the field on Saturday afternoon in Ann Arbor is not the one we saw last week at Minnesota. And again, maybe we're just suckers and idiots, and Minnesota, you're playing against the cardboard cutouts. But I got to tell you, you start losing these types of games, Jim Harbaugh 1-6 in home games against Michigan State and Ohio State, by the way. You start losing games like this, what are we doing here? This was bad. And I know people are probably coming on here, are you going to call for Harbaugh to get fired? Are you going to call for them to clean house? Are you going to call for them to make changes? Listen, I mean, as far as Harbaugh goes, I'm going to use the man's quote against him and say, or in favor of him here and say, right now there are bigger fish to fry. I mean, Dom Brown and his defense and their inability to make adjustments, and I mean, I know the penalties were bad. Some of the pass interferences were questionable. Some of them were egregious. I mean, Vincent Gray on the one, it's like the line from A New Hope. You know, what do Wookiees do when they lose? Or when Wookiees lose, they rip your arm out of your socket. The Michigan corners are grabby. They are. That's the way they play. That's the way they're coached to play. And this particular batch of guys, and this is no disrespect to the players themselves, they are not the athletes that Ambry Thomas, Vincent, or Ambry Thomas, LaVert Hill, you know, Jordan Lewis, David Long. You don't have a corner right now at the position that's athletic like that. So when you're getting beat on double moves by a freshman wide receiver, by the way, they don't have the athletic ability to make back up for that. I mean, Rocky Lombardi, you know, they were getting the ball out quick, and in credit to him, you know, they did just enough. And in a lot of ways, this reminded me of the 2017 game where once Michigan State kind of was able to get out there and build up enough of a lead where they felt pretty good about themselves, they didn't need to make mistakes. They really, honestly, for as hard as those guys, you know, we talked about them outplaying, out-coaching Michigan, they kind of coached not to lose. They didn't coach to win necessarily. Michigan had opportunities in this game, and You know, where was the offense we saw last week? Running, you know, Michigan State's clogging up the middle. They wanted to stop the run. They weren't going to let you do the, you know, the Zach Charbonnet 70-yard run up the middle. That wasn't going to happen this week. And it seemed like the offense had a lot of success at attacking the edges. But it's just another example of, you know, hurling a desk chair at the line of scrimmage. You weren't getting anything there, but they kept going to it, and they wouldn't adjust until late in the game when you're down by two scores and you have to open it up a little bit. I didn't think Joe Milton was as good this week. And the stat, I mean, 32 of 51, 300 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Certainly don't want to see that guy throw the ball 51 times. I mean, some fans might want to, but you don't have wide receivers that can get open down the field, so this can't be the air raid, like what people want to see. You know, this is a West Coast, you know, power spread type of offense. But it's, when someone needed to make a play, no one could make a big play. I go back to the defense. I mean, no pass rush at all. Quiddy Pay, Aiden Hutchinson are on milk jugs today. I can't remember hearing anyone's name from defensive tackle position. Cam McGrone got hurt. Josh Ross was out of position sometimes. It seemed like once they moved Dax Hill to corner, some of those deep shots started to go away. And, you know, again, he's athletic enough to turn around and make a play on the ball. I think Vincent Gray and Jamon Green can be good players, but you have to protect them a little bit. Those aren't 4-4, 4-5 guys. You cannot put them on an island. And, I mean, Rocky Lombardi didn't play. I mean, he was 17 for 32. I mean, if Justin Fields was playing quarterback today, they might have had 500 yards passing. And just no attempt to adjust at all is what bothers me. I don't know how much longer are you going to do this song and dance on that side of the ball. It's been 5 years. I'm willing to give Josh Gattis time and Joe Milton time. But this is what Michigan's defense, you know, when someone comes to play against them and they can't get to the quarterback, this is what they are. Gattis is not without blame today. The Wildcat stuff, I don't understand. So here's the thing with the Wildcat. It sucks, and they should burn it. Just like they should have burned the two quarterback stuff from the beginning of last year. If you're going to have a guy come into the game and take the snap, and he's a running threat, but then you're going to dial up a pass for him, why is Joe Milton not just in the game? And that's a drive, too, where that's, honestly, that stands out to me as the biggest drive of the game. Could have had seven, settle for three. And give credit to Antoine Simmons for making a great play, too. Probably needed some more arc on that ball from Hassan Haskins. But Antoine Simmons was from right across the street at Ann Arbor Pioneer. His staff didn't want him. Or he wasn't interested, either way. Best player on the field for either team in this game. Very impressed with how he played. This cutesy stuff, this smartest guy in the room stuff, I'll never understand it. Just run your offense. Something that was so impressive about the game last week was them just taking what Minnesota's defense gave them, which was nothing. Well, I should say was everything. They didn't stop anything. Take the look that the defense gives you and attack it. Early on in the game, You want to try running up the ball, running the ball up the middle, that's fine. You do you. But when it's not working and you're having success attacking the edges, and you have, God, I mean, they're six deep at wide receiver with guys that can run. What are you doing? Drops were bad today. And I get Joe Milton might be a little bit culpable on some of those. But you know what? Guess what? The guy throws a fastball. Now, you've been working with him for at least since August now. If you're not ready for it to come quick, that's on you. He wasn't perfect today. I get that. Quarterback's not the problem. Something that I thought was incredibly concerning was after the game. And that's the other reason I don't just press record when the game's done. You're going to the press conferences. You want to hear what these guys have to say. So I can come here and not sound like an ass for not knowing what I'm talking about. I want to hear their words first. I believe it was Joe Milton. No, it was either Joe Milton or Hassan Haskins. I believe it was Joe. Said, no, we didn't really make adjustments during the game. We stuck to the game plan. We just didn't execute well enough, which is true. And the offensive line was, I mean, again, I give credit to Michigan State. Defensive line came to play. Up front, I thought they played pretty well on both sides of the ball. But Michigan's offensive line, not great today. Not like last week.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's pathetic. It's embarrassing. Honestly, now Michigan State came to play and played well. Didn't look like a well-coached team last week. Looked the very opposite of that this week. But let's not kid ourselves here. There is a chance this might be the only game this year that they win. And they're going to get Maryland and Northwestern and Iowa, I think, too. But for as much as Michigan fans, I think some Michigan fans actually believe this when they say it. Huh, you know, I'd rather be 1-11 with a win over Ohio State than, you know, 10-2 and lose to them. Which has always been ridiculous to me. But this might be that for Michigan State this year. That's a competitive football team, but that's not going to be a great football team this year. You were 3-score favorites over them. I don't know what I mean. You're 6. I know you're a young team, and it's the second year of a new offense. But there's no excuse for this. There's not a single metric where this should have been possible other than you not showing up to play. And what I saw on Saturday was a team that read its press clippings this week. That's the team that lost. and the team that didn't read its press clippings, the press, including us at Mason Brew at other Michigan sites, people saying they sucked. Me in particular, I have crow to eat. I said I don't hate Mel Tucker. I still don't hate Mel Tucker. I said I felt sorry for him because what Mark D'Antonio left behind was a pile of ashes. But you know what else he left behind? A team and a group of kids that when they're in a rivalry game, you're going to be able to squeeze the best possible football out of them. And that wasn't the case for State last year. But that thing was obviously teetering by the time Michigan played them in November. Mel Tucker and his staff deserve credit. But man, oh man, they did a lot of things to lose the game too. I mean, running, there was a sequence where they had a first and 20. They ran the ball on first down. Second and 17, run the ball on second down. Third and 15, run the ball on third down. Like, what? This wasn't, you know, Urban Meyer and Ryan Day putting a spanking on you like they did in Columbus a couple years ago. You just weren't ready to play. And for as much talk as there was about, you know, this team is all one, this is a player-led team now, we're poised, we're not going to let what happened to us last year happen again. Well, a week of goodwill is gone, and really all it is you go from feeling like you have a chance to run the table going into the Ohio State game to now you're definitely not running the table going into the Ohio State game, and you're not eliminated from the Big Ten race, but it kind of feels like it. And that's 2 years in a row where before Halloween, the fan base's feelings of maybe we can get rolling heading into the last week of the year, it's gone before Halloween. This year just happens to be week two. I will say this, and maybe this is because Michigan State isn't that good and let Michigan hang around. I do think that Michigan's kids played hard and they didn't give up. And the problem I have with kids playing hard in a game like this and not being rewarded for that is that coaches aren't putting them in the right position to succeed. Don Brown doesn't do that. He'll bully you. He'll bully the heck out of you if you're overmatched. But if someone counterpunches against his defense, doesn't go well. And again, any offense is going to have success when you're not able to get to their quarterback. But I'm curious if there's anyone out there that thinks that this program can turn a corner with Don Brown coordinating the defense. Because I don't see it. I'm sorry. And I know they, again, I'm not attacking the kids. They've got a roster full of good kids and talented players. But if you have, you know, you have a couple guys. I mean, Jamon Green was a high 3-star, low 4-star. Vincent Gray was a 3-star, I believe. You know, at some point at that position, and they develop guys. I'll give them credit for that. But when push comes to shove and the athletes might be a little bit better on the other side, I need better results there. Mel Tucker at Michigan State come into the Big House and win his first win at Michigan State. And I think this is what bothers me most about this rivalry and Michigan's participation or what's happened with them over the years. Whenever MSU has lit a fire of success for their program, it's because you can't stay out of your own way. It's because you allow them to do that. It's because you overlook them. And I'm disappointed because the last few years, it felt like they got that fire back. The revenge tour year, the Devin Bush year where he rips up Sparty at midfield. That was fire that was back. Last year, they whooped on Michigan State. The fire was there. They took it seriously. And maybe shame on some of us. I mean, the things, people who say that these athletes should stay off social media and they don't pay attention to that, it's not true. It's 2020. We're all stuck in our homes, stuck in our dorms, stuck in our apartments. We're on social media. We see what, you know, they see what people say. We set, you know, a vibe is set. But I don't know what happened in that building this week, but this was not the same football team we saw at Minnesota. And it's so, so, so disappointing. So I'm not going to sit here and say the season's over. But you're not beating Ohio State. They're not going to beat Ohio State. That's not me being negative. That's just calling it what it is. So you will have lost to both rivals you play this year. One of which is depleted and should be a rebuilding year. All week, the narrative on Spartan social media, the narrative on radio is that, listen, Mel Tucker's team is going to be overmatched. It's a weird year. We don't really care about it because this is kind of an exhibition season anyways. This year is a cash grab. I mean, it matters to the players and the coaches and whatnot, but what we're seeing happen this year, I mean, you see, you turn on the pregame shows on Saturday, you've got Illinois had, what, 15 guys out due to contract tracing for COVID. Wisconsin might go 2 or 3 weeks without playing. Trevor Lawrence is out with COVID. It's a weird year for sure. But it is, I will say this. It's funny how the season matters. But you know what? Any dunking from the, you know, Spartan Nation that Michigan fans get, you're just going to have to take it. Just going to have to take it. And there's no, in terms of, I mean, this, like I said, this is easily, I mean, wide gap between this and the next worst loss under Jim Harbaugh, which is that, I mean, you know, really you sit down and think about it. We talk about the two blowouts against Ohio State these last couple of years. 2018 is obviously up there. But I think this one and the 2016 Ohio State game, for me, those might be the two most painful, most hurtful. Because let's face it, this program hasn't quite been the same since that 2016 game. That was a narrative changer. And this might be another narrative changer. Because if you can't win this type of game, why should we expect you to win the big one? And I like Jim Harbaugh. I think he's good for the school, he's good for the community. But what are we doing here? A loss to Michigan State at home? Are you kidding me? I don't know, you guys. I mean, it's hard to wrap your head around. I wouldn't expect anything to change through the end of this year. And honestly, outside of maybe having a change at defensive coordinator, I don't think a lot really changes for next year either. I mean, you look at how this pandemic is affecting the country. I think it's probably a safe bet. I won't say a safe bet, but might there be a truncated offseason again next year? This program can't go through that right now. It's just a matter of figuring it out. And when you sit here and ask me, what's the biggest thing that went wrong for Michigan on Saturday? It's the fact that Rocky Lombardi was able to stand back in the pocket, close his eyes, and play 500 dead or alive with your cornerbacks. it's the same stuff we've seen when the when this offense gets burned, or when this defense gets burned. It's the same stuff we've seen for 5 years. And I don't, I'm, there's no justification for it. There's no explanation for it. This loss isn't, it's not Appalachian State. But it's not, probably not too far from it. Inexplicable, inexcusable. I just don't know how much longer, I just don't know what's the end game here. I don't know. I'm out of answers. I'm out of things to say today. I don't want to get on here and yell and roast anyone or things like that, and I'm not going to. I'm not mad at the kids. I'm frustrated that they can't be put into better spots to succeed. Again. I can't and I won't be blindly loyal to that. I'm sorry. And if you're someone, and I mean this 100% with love, respect, all of that. If you're someone who still believes after a day like today that this staff can get it turned around, I need to hear your explanation for that. And they'll be good, and they'll probably go out and win 6 or 7 games this year of the 9 games that they play. But if today showed anything, I mean, let's be honest. Let's look at this schedule the rest of the year. Outside of Rutgers, which, hey, Rutgers has a transitive victory over you now. Look at that schedule right now, and after the effort you saw today, you tell me who else they're beating this year. I got nothing. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. The only positive for today is that it wasn't a night game. Don't have to go to bed angry. Was gonna watch a couple horror movies this evening. But maybe now I'm just gonna build a fire and maybe hurl myself into it. That's kind of where I'm at today. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony T. Broom. Follow the website at Maize and Brew. Join our Discord server. A lot of fun stuff going on in there. Win, lose, or draw. Get our podcast wherever you get our shows. Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher. Do have some fun stuff coming up this week that we're excited about. I hope you're able to remain excited about it. Hey, Michigan got a 5-star in basketball on Friday. How about that? I tweet that out and people go, well, we got to make sure he signs first, which, accurate. Michigan State 27-24 winners over the Wolverines on Saturday. Paul Bunyan is back in East Lansing. And you bet your ass that Mel Tucker will be using that on the recruiting trail. Be back with more podcasts this week. Looking forward to be back. Next time you'll hear me is with the Brewcast guys Monday night into Tuesday. Thanks for your time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.